It is indeed an honor and a privilege to be here with you. I've been associated with this congregation for a long time. I love your pastor. He has absolutely been a dear, dear friend to me. And I thank the Lord for this place, that God would raise up and maintain a place where the gospel of God's grace is preached, and preached faithfully. A year or so ago, I was in Mexico with, you can take your Bibles and turn with me back to Exodus 12. In Mexico, last year sometime, I guess, we were at the preacher school, Brother Walter Groover, Cody. And Brother Walter said this to me. He said, I tell all the men at the preacher school, he said, preach to the heart. Preach to the heart. And you know, that's scriptural. Isaiah 40, you know, speak comfortably to Israel. Speak to her heart. I pray this morning that God bless this service to me, to you, that the Lord Jesus Christ be honored. He's honored. All is well. If he's not honored, nothing's well. This morning, this precious passage of Scripture concerning the Passover. Oh, what a glorious passage. Now, let me just go ahead and just tell you up front. I told Larry a few minutes ago, I was going over my notes this morning, and as I was going over my notes, I realized I'd like to get through this passage of Scripture. And there is so much, there's so many truths set forth. If I try to look at all of them, there's certain things that I'm just gonna say, pray the Lord bless them, and set forth the glory of Him who is worthy. I'm going to be in Exodus 12, but I'll start. I'm going to read something. Hold your place right there. Turn to Genesis 15. The Lord revealed to Abraham that the people of God were going to be in bondage. They were going to be in bondage for 400 years, and then they were going to be delivered. That's what the Lord told. Genesis 15, verses 13, 14. He said unto Abram, know of a surety. Now that, yeah, there's some comfort right there. Now you absolutely know for a surety that thy seed shall be a stranger in a land that's not theirs, shall serve them, they shall afflict them 400 years, and also that nation whom that they shall serve will I judge, and afterward shall they come out with great substance. Now, according to the purpose of Him who worketh all things, after the counsel of His own will, we find now in Exodus chapter 12 that very thing being brought to pass. Israel has been in Egypt now 400 years. The Lord has raised up Moses, and He told Moses to go to Egypt and tell Pharaoh this. In Exodus 5 and verse 1, this is Moses, the afterward Moses and Aaron, Exodus 5:1, went in and told Pharaoh, thus saith the Lord God of Israel, let my people go, that they may hold a feast unto me in the wilderness. And then Pharaoh responds in the next verse. This is what he says. Who is the Lord that I should obey his voice to let Israel go? I know not the Lord, neither will I let Israel go. Man, by nature, is arrogant. He's rebellious. He will, in the very face of Almighty God who holds that soul in his very hand, all souls are mine. The Lord in judgment, because of that, sent 9 plagues to Egypt. And all of those plagues, Pharaoh resisted. God left him to himself. Scripture says the Lord hardened his heart, left him alone. Almighty God, leave a man alone. And I'm telling you, that man's going to perish. The Lord then told Moses, Exodus 11, verse 1, he says, the Lord said unto Moses, yet will I bring 1 plague more upon Pharaoh, upon Egypt. And afterwards he will let you go hence. When he shall let you go, he shall surely thrust you out hence altogether. The Lord told Moses what he was going to do and what was going to come to pass. And then Moses told Pharaoh what the Lord had said. Now listen to this conversation, Exodus 11, 4 to 8. Now this is Moses telling Pharaoh what God said. Moses said, thus saith the Lord God, about midnight will I go out into the midst of Egypt, and all the firstborn in the land of Egypt shall die. From the firstborn of Pharaoh that sitteth upon his throne, even unto the firstborn of the maid servant that is behind the mill, all the firstborn of beast, and there shall be a great cry throughout all the land of Egypt, such as there was none like it, nor shall be like it any more. But against any of the children of Israel shall not a dog move his tongue, against man or beast, that ye shall know how that the Lord doth put a difference between the Egyptians and Israel, and all these thy servants. He's telling Pharaoh, these people, all your servants, all these thy servants shall come down unto me and bow down themselves unto me, saying, get thee out, and all the people that follow thee. And afterward that, I will go out. And he went out from Pharaoh in great anger. He said, now this is what the Lord has got to say. Pharaoh surely thought, I've heard this before. We've gone through 9 of these little bumps in the road. And we've weathered them all. That's what he's thinking. We've come through all these other calamities. Look at 2 Peter 3. 2 Peter chapter 3. Now we've gone through these things before, and now here you are coming again and telling me, okay, another one's coming. 2 Peter 3. 3. Knowing this first, if there shall come in the last days scoffers, walking after their own lust, and saying, where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of the creation. For this they willingly are ignorant of, that by the word of God the heavens were of old, and the earth standing out of the water and in water, whereby the world that then was being overflowed with water, perished. Let no rebel against God ever say, Almighty God has not been just. Almighty God has told us, man without Christ, he that hath the Son hath life. He that hath not the Son hath not life. Moses told Pharaoh, this is what God's going to do. And then afterward, back in Exodus chapter 11, after he told Pharaoh what God had said, this is what the Lord said in verse 9, that Pharaoh was going to do. The Lord said, Exodus 11, 9 said unto Moses, Pharaoh shall not hearken unto you, that my wonders may be multiplied in the land of Egypt. He's not going to listen to what you've got to say. And then that wicked king did that which he did because he was a rebel against God. That's exactly right. He did what he did because he wanted to do what he did. I'm telling you, God left him to himself. Look at verse 10. Moses and Aaron did all these wonders before Pharaoh, and the Lord hardened Pharaoh's heart so that he would not let the children of Israel go out of the land. God left him alone. I pray this morning, Lord, don't leave me alone. I'm going to just be honest with you. I know what I'll do. I don't know the depth to which I'll do it, but I know what I'll do. I'll quit. I'll leave. I will not stay. You know how I know that? There's no record of anyone ever staying that God didn't keep by his power and grace. God's got to keep a man. May the Lord have mercy on us. If God Almighty justly leaves us to do that which our carnal heart dictates, we're going to die in our rebellion. And we're going to suffer the just reward of our iniquity. We're going to be cast out. Cast them out. Bind them hand and foot. But on the other hand, and this is what I know so, if the Lord is pleased to show mercy and compassion unto me, if God Almighty grants salvation to me, it's going to be to the praise of the glory of his grace. Romans chapter 9. I'll just read this. If you want to turn, I've got quite a few places I'll read from. But Romans 9 and verse 18 says this, therefore hath he mercy on whom he will have mercy, and whom he will, he hardeneth. Does God have the right to do that? Absolutely. Does he have the right out of the same lump to make one vessel unto honor and another unto dishonor? Does he have the right to do? Yes, he does. God Almighty does as he will. Who said that? Nebuchadnezzar said that. He doeth as he will in the army of heaven among the inhabitants of the earth. And no one has a right to question him. No one has a right to doubt, ask him, why do you do what you do? He doesn't owe anyone an explanation. If he would give me a heart to bow, for that I am so thankful. Well, now, in chapter 12. Here we have the account of that 10th plague. The Lord said, I'm going to send one more plague. God Almighty has told Moses, he said, I'm going to pass through. I'm going to pass through. And he said, I'm going to destroy the Egyptians. But he said, I'm going to have mercy. Here we behold in God's judgment, we also behold the glorious mercy to Israel. I'm telling you, God's got a people in this world. And he's calling them out. He's calling them out under the sound of the gospel. Brother Lindsay, that's what you just said. We're preaching the gospel. We throw the net. Who are God's elect? I don't know. But I know how they're going to be brought. I know they're going to hear the sound of the gospel. They're going to hear the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ. They're going to hear how God saves sinners, how God's honored, how Christ himself has suffered the just for the unjust. And God's going to have all that he's ever loved, ever chosen in the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, here's what I know. We must set forth our precious Savior. Truly, Moses right here, according to the Lord's word, he wrote of me. That's what Christ said. He wrote of me. Now here, we're going to see what does God demand that he might justly show mercy. God is a just God. He said, I'm a Savior. God shows mercy, but not at the expense of his justice. Now, chapter 12, Exodus, verses 1 to 4. The Lord spake unto Moses and Aaron in the land of Egypt, saying, this month shall be unto you the beginning of months. It shall be the first month of the year to you. Speak ye unto all the congregation of Israel, saying, in the 10th day of this month, they shall take to them every man a lamb, according to the house of their fathers, a lamb for an house, for the household. No, if the household be too little for the lamb, let him, his neighbor, next to his house, take it according to the number of the souls. Every man according to his eating shall make your count for the lamb. Now, here's what I know. For God Almighty to pass over me. You can say this for yourself. You that know him do say this for yourself. For God Almighty to pass over me, this is what it's going to take. It's going to take a lamb. You know, think to yourself just for a moment. If you knew nothing at all concerning redemption, salvation, and someone were to ask you, what is it going to take for God to show mercy to you? I'll tell you the first thing you're going to think. I'm going to have to clean up my act. I'm going to have to turn over a new leaf. I'm going to have to straighten up and fly right. I'm going to have to... I had neighbors in Franklin when I lived there. They'd tell me, said, we think we're going to do church this weekend. You know, take a lamb. A lamb. Take a lamb. God Almighty has been pleased to show mercy to whomsoever he will. And this is what he says. I'm going to reveal to you what I demand. Take a lamb. By him telling Moses, by the Lord telling Moses, you take a lamb. Let me tell you what he's saying. You're guilty. I'm going to pass over. I'm going to judge Egypt. I'm going to pass over you. You take a lamb. Israel was just as guilty as Egypt. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. There's none righteous. No, not one. Egypt was not told to take a lamb. He told Moses, you tell the people, you take a lamb. God is going to show mercy to Israel, but not at the expense of his justice. Israel needed a lamb. And the Lord would supply the lamb. What God demands, God supplies. I love this passage. Let me read this. Genesis 22, 7, 8. You know this. You know this. Let's just bask in the glory of it. Isaac spake unto Abraham, his father, and says, my father. And he said, here am I, my son. And he said, behold the fire and the wood, but where's the lamb for a burnt offering? And Abraham said, my son, God will provide himself a lamb for a burnt offering. So they went up, both of them together. Went up, both of them together. God will supply himself. God Almighty will provide himself. God is just. Either the firstborn is going to die or an innocent substitute must die. There must be a redeemer. There must be a substitute. There must be a sacrifice. Where sin's found, God's wrath is too. But it couldn't be just any lamb. I don't want you to go out there and find that one that's been hobbling around, spotted, got that stuff on its ears and stuff. I demand the best. The best. Oh, the best. Verse 5. Your lamb shall be without blemish. A male of the first year. He shall take it out from the sheep or from the goats. This lamb was to be without blemish. A beautiful and fit type of the immaculate holiness of the Lord Jesus Christ. I can say that. I can say that. Perfect. Holy. And my understanding just, I don't even want to try to explain it. What am I going to explain about the holiness of the Lord Jesus Christ? I believe it. Lord, help my unbelief. I believe it. 1 Peter 1, 18-19, for as much as you know that you were not redeemed with corruptible things, as silver and gold from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ as a lamb, without blemish, without spot. The Lord Jesus Christ was without sin. Without sin. He made flesh. And had all of the characteristics that we have. We age, he aged. We aged because of sin. We suffer, we hunger, we thirst, we feel pain. We're fallen creatures. He was made like unto his brethren, yet without sin. We quote these scriptures, and we're quoting things that's so far above us. I know this concern. We were redeemed with the precious blood of Christ as a lamb. The precious blood of Christ as a lamb, without blemish, without spot. He knew no sin. And I'll tell you this, Spirit of God was very, very particular to continually remind us of that. Peter just wrote of it. Peter was one of his apostles, taught by the Spirit of God. And Peter wrote that he was without spot, precious blood, no blemish. What did Pilate say? It was just a Roman official. What did the Spirit of God move on Pilate? What did the Spirit of God move Pilate's mouth to say? I find no fault in him. A centurion soldier there at the crucifixion. What did he say? Luke 23:47. Certainly, this was a righteous man. That was a righteous man. I thought to myself as I read that, how did he know? How did he know that? He was a man beaten beyond recognition. How did he know? How did he know to say that the Spirit of God moved on his all Scripture given by inspiration of God? And the Holy Spirit said, you say that. You say that. You give witness to his glory. That's a righteous man. The Lord Jesus Christ said, John 8:46, which of you convinceth me of sin? The Father said at his baptism, this is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased. The Mount of Transfiguration. This is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased. Hear ye Him. You hear Him. There must be a lamb. It's going to have to be a lamb that's precious, without blemish, without spot. And thirdly, that lamb is going to have to suffer. That lamb will suffer as an offering. Exodus 12, verse 6. You shall keep it up until the 14th day of the same month. The whole assembly of the congregation of Israel shall kill it in the evening. That lamb suffered as a beautiful fit picture and type of our Lord and Savior. God's Lamb. God who provided Himself a Lamb. Peter said in 1 Peter 3:18, "For Christ also hath once suffered for sins, the just for the unjust, that He might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but quickened by the Spirit." The Lamb of God laid down His life for His people. John 10:15, "I lay down my life for the sheep." Moses was told by God, "You take that lamb and you kill it. Kill it." 2 Corinthians 5:21, "For He hath made Him," sin, to be is in italics, "He hath made Him sin for us." Here's what the Scripture says. He was made sin. He was made sin. I've told you this before. I'll tell you again. I asked Brother Scott one day. I'll never forget this. I can still see him, Larry. I was sitting at my desk. He's sitting right here in this rocking chair that we bought him. And I said, "Brother Scott, I read this," and I said, "I know that what it's saying." And I said, I hold my breath every time. But I said, according to that scripture, I said, the Lord Jesus Christ hanging on that cross, He who was without sin on that cross was hanging sin for us. He had made Him sin for us who knew no sin. And I said, "Brother Scott, and he said, "Marvin, I know you desperately want to be respectful." And he said, "I know that." And he took his finger and pointed at me and he said, Don't you ever try to play down or water down or take away in any way, in any wise, the glory of the substitute who laid down His life for us." He said, "The Scriptures say exactly what they mean." By the grace of God, I'll remember that the day I die. I know this. And He finished this by saying, He said, "If He was not made what I am, if He did not suffer as what I am," He said, "I don't have any hope." He said, "God put away my sin in a substitute." Hebrews 9:22, "And almost all things are by the law purged with blood, and without shedding of blood is no remission, no forgiveness." Take a lamb, precious lamb, and kill it. But fourthly, without the application of that shed blood, there's no passing over. He died, but that blood's got to be applied to me. Exodus 12, verse 7, it says, "They shall take of the blood and strike it on the two side posts, on the upper door posts of the houses, wherein they shall eat it." Here we behold a beautiful, glorious picture of God-given faith. It's given unto you to believe. You take the blood and you take that hyssop, Brother Lindsay read on, he took it, and you put it on the door. They put that blood on that door, and this is what they knew. God told us to do this. We believe God. You put the blood. God's people must have His blood personally applied to them for justification. Romans 5 verses 8 and 9 says this. "But God commendeth His love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us, much more than being now justified by His blood, we shall be saved from wrath through Him." The blood. Oh, that precious blood sprinkled. That's what Hebrews 10:22 says. That precious blood sprinkled. Applied. I can't apply the blood. God Almighty, who chose Christ, who redeemed, God Himself must apply the blood. Hebrews 10:22 says this, "Let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water." The precious, glorious blood of Christ. A lamb, precious, slain, and blood applied. But not only was that blood applied to the doorpost, that lamb's going to have to be eaten. And here's how it was to be eaten. This is how a believer eats by faith. This is how we believe. This is what we believe. We eat of Christ. We eat of Him. Exodus 12, verses 8 to 10, "They shall eat the flesh in that night, roast with fire and unleavened bread, bitter herbs, they'll eat it. Eat not of it raw, nor sodden it all with water, but roast it with fire. His head, his legs, with the pertinence thereof, ye shall let nothing of it remain until the morning, and that which remaineth up of it until the morning you shall burn with fire." It had to be roasted with fire. Speaking, I am convinced, I believe, setting forth the suffering of the Lord Jesus Christ. He bore the brunt of God's wrath. The wrath of Him of whom it is said is a consuming fire. Men speak so flippantly of God Almighty, realizing that we're all going to stand before God. The books are going to be open. I read that. The books will be open. And the book will be open. All that was found in the book, that book of the Lamb, that book of life, that book of Christ, written from before the foundation of the world, of life. But all that were not found in that book, written from before the foundation of the world, they're going to be judged out of the books according to their works. Lord, have mercy on me. Oh, may I find my hope in Him. You eat of that lamb. You're going to eat it as it is roasted with fire. By faith, a needy sinner trusts Christ Himself, the Lamb, who truly suffered. I think about what I just said about 2 Corinthians 5:21, being made sin, and God Almighty, in absolute justice, forsook His Son. Listen to this, roasted with fire. When the Lord Jesus Christ cried, my God, why hast Thou forsaken me? You eat that lamb roasted with fire. Truly, by faith, we eat of Him. He's the bread. He that eateth my flesh, drinketh my blood. We eat by faith of Him who suffered and died under the judgment of God Almighty in our place. And He said, you'll eat that lamb. And He said, you'll eat that lamb with bitter herbs. I'm sorry, with unleavened bread and bitter herbs. They shall eat it. Unleavened bread. Let me turn with me to 1 Corinthians 5. Unleavened bread. 1 Corinthians 5, 7 and 8. This scripture here gives great light on that. 1 Corinthians 5, 7 and 8. Purge out therefore the old leaven, that ye may be a new lump, as ye are unleavened. For even Christ our Passover is sacrificed for us. Therefore, let us keep the feast, not with old leaven, neither with the leaven of malice and wickedness, but with the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth. How do we eat of the Lamb by faith? How do we eat of the Lamb by faith? Well, back in Exodus chapter 12, verse 8, it says we're to eat it with unleavened bread. We eat of Him sincerely. We eat of Him in truth as He is revealed to us by the Spirit of God. I sincerely believe He's my only hope. With the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth. Who do men say that I am? Here again, Brother Lindsay, you just said that. All this one, that. Who do you say? Peter said, you're the Christ. I believe that. I believe that. You're the Christ. You're God Almighty. And I'll tell you another thing. In sincerity. Eat it not only with unleavened bread, but eat it with bitter herbs. As they ate that, and that bitter herb they tasted, they were eating that roasted lamb. And they knew all the while, this is a picture. This is a beautiful, this is our hope. This is Christ, a picture of Him. This is the Lamb. God's going to provide Himself a Lamb. And they ate those bitter herbs and they tasted it. And all the while, I see why I must eat of Him, because I know what I am in myself. Paul says, O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? You that know Him, that trust Him, that love Him. And find all your hope in Him. You don't have any confidence in your flesh. You that know Him, you don't. You don't trust in your free will. But I'll tell you what else you don't forget either. You don't remember who you are. You know who you are. Two men went up in the temple to pray. One was a Pharisee and one was a publican. And the Pharisee started bragging, I'll just jump right over here to the publican. God,
be merciful to me, a sinner. I'm a sinner. Christ Jesus came into this world to save sinners. Paul said, of whom I'm chief.
You eat that lamb. You take it in. You eat it. You swallow it. It becomes you, part of you. You eat it with unleavened bread. No, but you're sincere. It's my hope right here. And all the while I remember what I am. By the grace of God. And they ate it. He said in verse 9, he said, eat not of it raw, nor sodden it all with water, roasted with fire, his head, his legs, with the pertinence thereof. It takes all of Christ. Let me tell you what it's going to take for God Almighty to pass over me. It's going to take the fullness of the Godhead. That's what it's going to take. It's going to take the fullness of the Godhead in human flesh to satisfy God's justice, to show me mercy. He said, don't you eat it raw. You roast it with fire, his head, his legs, pertinence, all of it. All of it. All. And then he said, verse 11, thus shall he eat it with your loins girded, your shoes on your feet, your staff in your hand. Eat it in haste. It's the Lord's Passover. We eat of him daily, ready to be delivered. This was the last night they were leaving. They've been here 400 years. And we're leaving tomorrow. We're leaving tomorrow. The next day, God Almighty delivered Israel out of Egypt. They left. He said, you eat this tonight and you be ready to go. We're just pilgrims, sojourners. But I tell you, knowing that this world is not our home, we like Abraham, we look, you know, for a city that has foundations. This place doesn't. The Lord Jesus Christ prayed, Father, I will that those that you've given me be with me where I am. I thought about those, even from Katie, that have gone on to be with the Lord, and Brother Scott and Martha and many others. I've preached 10 funerals since I've been there. And I'll think to myself, oh, those that know him, what they know now. Be ready. I'll admit, there's so much in that one loins girded up. I would just go. But in closing, look at verse 13, 12 and 13. For I will pass through the land of Egypt this night and shall smite all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, both man and beast, and against all the gods of Egypt I will execute judgment. I am the Lord. And the blood shall be to you for a token upon the houses where you are. And oh, these precious words. And when I see the blood, I will pass over you, and the plague shall not be upon you to destroy you when I smite the land of Egypt. The Lord who supplied the lamb, the Lord who gave the demand of the preciousness of the Lamb, of His Son. The Lord Himself, who made Him to be sin. The Lord Himself, who gave the faith to believe on Him, to trust Him. the Lord Himself who said, you take the blood of the lamb that I supply and you put it on the lintel, side post. The Lord who supplied all and gave them faith to believe said this, now when I see the blood, I'll pass over you. What did they have to glory in save Jesus Christ and Him crucified? Jonah made this glorious statement, salvation's of the Lord. Lord, bless these words to our heart for Christ's sake. Amen.